The rates of hypertensive disorders of pregnancy are on the rise, and they're impacting hospitalizations as well. Welcome to Advancing Health, a podcast from the American Hospital Association. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. In this podcast, Aisha Sayeda, Senior Program Manager for AHA Strategic Initiatives, sits down with Shanna Cox, Associate Director for Science in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Division of Reproductive Health, to discuss the reasons behind the increase in hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, its health outcomes, and what hospitals can do to identify and prevent associated complications. Shanna also shares strategies and resources hospitals can use to guide this work with equity in mind.
Thank you, Tom, and welcome, Shanna, and thank you for speaking with me today. Let's get started with some facts. Shanna, why are we seeing a rise in hypertensive disorders in pregnancy, and what are the implications of this increase on health outcomes and health disparities in the U.S.?
Hypertensive disorders in pregnancy can cause severe complications for pregnant and postpartum people, such as heart attacks and strokes, and are a leading cause of pregnancy-related deaths in the United States. A recent report found that the prevalence of hypertensive disorders in pregnancy among delivery hospitalizations increased from about 13% in 2017 to 16% in 2019, affecting at least 1 in 7 delivery hospitalizations during this period. And unfortunately, some communities are disproportionately impacted. Data shows that Black, American Indian, and Alaska Native women are more likely to have a hypertensive disorder in pregnancy at delivery compared to white women. There are many reasons why we are seeing a rise in hypertensive disorders of pregnancy in the United States. Characteristics associated with increased risks, such as older maternal age, obesity, and diabetes, have increased in the United States and may explain some of the increase in the prevalence of hypertensive disorders in pregnancy. Factors contributing to racial and ethnic inequities include a higher burden of risk factors, such as rates of obesity and diabetes, as well as differences in access to and quality of healthcare. Psychosocial stress from experienced racism has also been found to be associated with chronic hypertension. So disparities may be based on location, such as differences in characteristics associated with these increased risks that vary by location, such as higher levels of tobacco use, experience in poverty, or lower access to care in rural areas.
Thank you for sharing those facts and the reasons behind the increase in these disorders in pregnancy. So what can hospitals do to prevent severe hypertensive disorders and pregnancy-associated complications and mortality? What should be done to diagnose and treat these disorders while ensuring equitable outcomes?
Severe complications and mortality from hypertensive disorders in pregnancy are preventable with equitable implementation of strategies to identify and monitor persons with these disorders and partnering with organizations such as the State Perinatal Quality Collaborative on quality improvement initiatives to improve prompt treatment and increase awareness of the urgent maternal warning signs that can make a difference. So for example, in Illinois, their Perinatal Quality Collaborative improved timely treatment for women with severe high blood pressure at delivery, increasing the percentage of patients treated within 60 minutes from 41% at baseline to 79% in the first year of the project. We also know that hypertensive disorders in pregnancy are an indicator for future cardiovascular risk, and so screening is important across the life course. Yet a study published in the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology found that only 3 out of 4 clinicians reported screening patients for a history of hypertensive disorders in pregnancy. Strategies to improve evidence-based screening may be increasing clinician awareness, having more clear clinical guidance, and implementation support like standardized clinical algorithms, screening protocols, or referral assistance. clarifying the clinical guidelines related to screening individuals with a history of hypertensive disorders in pregnancy, increasing clinician and patient education about future risks associated with these disorders, and addressing patient and clinician level barriers to referral might improve cardiovascular risk assessment and referral practices. It is also important to note that racial bias does exist in the U.S. healthcare system, which can impact care from screening and diagnosis to treatment. Strengthening regional networks of healthcare facilities which are providing risk-appropriate maternal care through telemedicine and transferring people with high-risk conditions to facilities that can provide specialty services is a strategy to reduce these disparities.
Great. And then from just a more broadly speaking perspective, how can hospitals improve not just the rates of hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, but rates of all leading causes of pregnancy-related deaths? Any strategies or recommendations there?
While hypertensive disorders in pregnancy are a significant contributor to pregnancy-related complications and death, we know that there are also many other causes of deaths during pregnancy and in the year postpartum, such as infections and hemorrhage. And overall, more than 700 women die each year in the United States as a result of pregnancy or delivery complications. And what makes these deaths even more tragic is that most are preventable. So data from our 14 state-based maternal mortality review committees have found that contributing factors occur at the patient and healthcare provider level, such as lack of knowledge of the warning signs or knowing when to seek care, missed or delayed diagnosis, and inappropriate or delayed treatment. We also know at the system level, contributing factors to maternal mortality include inadequate receipt of care, case coordination and management, and lack of guiding policies, procedures, or standards. So really everyone has a role to play in improving maternal health outcomes, including health facilities and systems of care. Hospitals and health systems can play a really important coordination role, encouraging cross-communication and collaboration among healthcare providers. They can work to put systems in place for quality improvement, to improve the delivery of quality care before, during, and after pregnancy, and standardize approaches for responding to obstetric emergencies. Training for healthcare professionals is crucial as well. Hospitals can train non-obstetric providers to consider pregnancy and recent pregnancy status when triaging patients. They can also support trainings for clinicians on diversity, shared decision-making, cultural competency, and implicit bias as important steps to address those disparities in healthcare.
Those are some great practical strategies that you shared. Thank you. So what other resources are available to improve patient-provider communication, health outcomes, and equity in treatment of pregnant and postpartum women? And how can hospitals use these resources?
Healthcare professionals can help patients, and healthcare systems can support healthcare professionals in their efforts to provide respectful, patient-centered care to facilitate the management of chronic conditions, have ongoing conversations about the warning signs of complications, and provide timely treatment when problems arise. And so a really important resource that really helps this framework is the Hear Her campaign. CDC released the Hear Her campaign to raise awareness of the 15 urgent maternal warning signs that can indicate potentially life-threatening pregnancy-related complications during and after pregnancy, and to improve the communication between patients, their support systems, and their healthcare providers. Recognizing these urgent maternal warning signs, getting an accurate and timely diagnosis, and the quality care can save lives. The campaign features a webpage and a suite of materials for healthcare professionals in obstetrics, pediatrics, and other fields of medicine, such as emergency and urgent care and primary care. These materials include posters, palm cards, social media content in both English and Spanish. There are links to other clinical resources and tools from organizations. So we really encourage hospitals and healthcare systems to explore ways to share these materials with their staff. These materials complement efforts by the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, known as ACOG, to really address readiness in pre-hospital, emergency department, primary care, and urgent care settings to, again, identify and manage obstetric emergencies during pregnancy and the postpartum period. We also encourage hospitals and healthcare professionals to provide these educational resources to pregnant and postpartum people, including the handouts, conversation guides, and even magnet-sized versions of the urgent maternal warning signs. Several healthcare systems have begun distributing these resources to their patients. The campaign messages can also be included in company-wide presentations or newsletters. For example, the maternal health campaign was recently included in the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program Carrier Letter going to all federal program carriers in the U.S. So really just want to emphasize, again, the Hear Her campaign is an amazing resource that has been inspired by the powerful stories of people who experienced serious pregnancy-related complications but did not feel heard by those around them, potentially delaying their diagnosis or treatment. In addition to these stories and these resources, visit the website at www.cdc.gov/hearher, H-E-A-R-H-E-R. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna, for sharing such valuable information and resources to help our hospitals improve maternal and child health outcomes. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in.